I'd like to ask you your name and where you grew up.
Orville Purush. Grew up in Kindred.
Can I ask how old you are?
92.
What did you do prior to going into the military?
Oh. Well, I worked as a farm laborer here and there after my brothers got old enough to take over with my dad. So then I left the farm and I worked. And then finally I went on and worked for the railroad then until I went into service.
What did you do on the railroad?
Railroad maintenance.
How did you enter the military and
drafted?
And that was in what year?
41 or 42, 41 I think.
Okay. Were you trained for specific duties when you went into the military?
Well, we were trained for combat.
And what unit did you go into?
90th Division.
Where were you stationed with the 90th?
Well, when we left, we trained in Camp Barkley, Texas, and we maneuvered in Louisiana, and we came back to Barkley, and then from there on, after a while, we went to the desert in California, and we trained there until we were shipped across the whole United States to Fort Dix, New Jersey, and we were there to get medical attention and furloughs, and everybody got furloughs. And when all that was over, we were sent over to England. And we were stationed in England and done some maneuvers there until they were ready to start the invasion. So, one day in the afternoon, we loaded aboard ship and headed out across the English Channel and got there. D-Day started early in the morning, and we were parked. A lot of ships were parked, staggered from the waterfront and back until it was their turn. And so I went in on evening of D-Day. And we were lucky because of the troops that had gone in ahead of us. We got in pretty near a mile before we encountered anything. And from there on, it was war.
When you were there, how many battles were you in?
I was in every battle there was.
And what are some of your battle experiences?
Physically, you mean?
Was it, yes?
No, I don't want to go into that.
Did you have camps at each site?
No. When you went into battle, you were out in the open all the time.
You mean days?
Yes. Hmm. You were on the front line or in reserve all the time.
Did you have times when you went back to your station in England?
No. During combat, it was 11 months that I was in combat, the whole war. And at certain times, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, they'd pull our division back a couple of miles and checks for physical problems and to get a bath and maybe a change of clothes and some hot meals. And then when that was over, we were shoved back to the front lines again.
When you were at the front lines, What were your meals then?
Oh, we had meals that were in, you know, the size of Cracker Jack boxes. They were a little bit bigger there, and your whole meal, one meal was in there.
Was that like the K rations they
talk
about?
Yeah.
Were you in, what countries were you in?
Oh, I went in France, Germany, Czechoslovakia, Austria, and one more. And on the day the war was over, I was in Czechoslovakia. And when I went to school, I couldn't even spell it.
Did you get any decorations from being in the war?
Yes.
What were some of them?
I'd have to look over there. I can't name.
I see you've got some of these medals mounted on a board. Can you tell us about some of these?
Well, I can't tell you much about them because I don't remember all this stuff. This is what is for in Germany.
What was the purple star for?
Oh, that goes for, it's a bronze star. That's for being in a lot of battles, I guess. Hmm. Yeah.
What was your rank when you were in the service?
Sergeant. 90th Division is where I was inducted in. We served under the 90th Division all that time. And we come time to be discharged, we were moved over to the engineers. So I was there for about a couple of months before you were shipped out for discharge.
Oh. Okay.
And this is the combat infantry badge. The only people that get that is the people that were in the front lines. And this one here is for for each one, 6 months overseas. I was just about ready to get the fourth one. And this one here is for the length of service you've been in. And I don't remember what each stripe represent. Because I was in partner 4 years. Yeah.
Tell us about some of the people you met, and have you kept in contact with any of them?
Well, we did for a while, but as things happened to people, they either passed away or moved so far away and wanted to put things in the background or whatever. And I did go to one reunion, company reunion, my wife and I, many, many years ago. And it was about 20 guys from our company that came. And I was standing there talking, and just as I came in, and here another guy came in, and he came over and he put his arms around me. He says, "Hey, fellas," he said, "this is the guy that went and got the ambulance and when we were bombarded and saved my life," he said. Yeah, we were ready to move out and we had just been shelled by artillery, and we lost a lieutenant and two other guys and about four wounded guys, and our medics, we only had one medic that's with us. and I knew we had to have an ambulance right away. And the ambulance were congregated about a mile down, and I knew that. So I told him, I says, I'm going to go down there and get the ambulance and bring it up here. And that's how that came about.
Now, you talked about being in the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
And were you on the front lines there, where I read where some of them were not prepared for it at that time? They weren't expecting Hitler to come through at that point. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's kind of vague. You see, some of the times we were put in as a background support group, you know. So we weren't always in the front line in those battles. But we had such a big collection of army around her that we just about had everyone surrounded all the time. And so these Germans were more or less bottled up. And they were trying to fight their way out, which they weren't able to do.
What were the conditions like there? Was it winter?
I suppose, I don't recall.
I think they talked about going through the forest when the snow was so deep, trying to...
Oh yeah, we went through the... There was snow and ice, and one time in Bastogne, we had a group of soldiers there that were surrounded by the Germans, and headquarters called General Patton and told him what the situation was. Well, he says, give me the authority, I'll take my division up there. And we were about 100 miles away from there. And I think we got there in about 4 hours. And we got there, and it was snow and ice and slippery. The tanks were going up a hill and sliding off. And we got up there, and that general that was in there that was bottled up, the Germans had come up with white flags and wanted them to surrender. And he gave them a message. He said, nuts, which puzzled the Germans. So they went back and found out what he meant. he wasn't about to give up, because he had some information that help was coming, see. So we got there, and we pushed the Germans out and freed those guys. And that was in the winter time. It wasn't too cold, but it was cold enough to snow and make the snow a little slushy, you know. So for a while, travel was kind of difficult for some of the big machinery. Well, anyway, we won that one.
That was one of the two places, I think, that yeah. Hitler wanted to...
Yeah, Bastogne was a...
Yep.
They'd been bottled up there for several weeks, you know, or several days. And they were starting to run out of supplies for food and so forth, you know. Nuts.
Being in the military, did it define any of the outlook on your life after that? The things that you saw and experienced?
Oh, I suppose to some extent it would make you appreciate what you have got and to disagree to a point where you have a battle between countries is stupid. Is one of the things we came up with.
Can you remember your worst military meal?
Meal? No, because those rations were the same every day. Sometimes we had, when we had kitchens, they had different kinds of food, you know, and some of them didn't like the food, and some would just barely eat it because they didn't like it. Like one guy said, I'll go back to K-Rush.
And I've always heard they weren't so great.
Well, it depends on what you like, you know. And they had pretty good meat, you know. But there was all this other side stuff that they had that some of them didn't want to eat, you know.
Now, when you were out on the lines, day in and day out, did you camp like in tents or something?
Oh, no. No.
How did you keep warm?
Well, we had winter clothing, of course, but we each carried a backpack, you know, with a tent, a half a tent in it, and your blankets and stuff. What you'd do would open up that pack and roll out that tent part, lay it right on the ground, and put your blanket down and lay down on that. And then pull the tarp over you. You can never put up a tent because if you put up a tent and were in there and you had to get out in a hurry, you might not make it. So we never did. No, we slept outside like that, rain or snow.
When you were discharged, what was your rank?
Sergeant.
Sergeant. What did you do after leaving the military? What occupation did you do after the military?
Oh, I went back on the railroad for a while. And then as time went on, I dropped out of that. And I worked in a garage for a little while. And then I went and invested in a truck line. Livestock truck line, and done that for several years. And as time went on that, I got a job on the rural mail routes with that. And so I was on the rural mail route for 20 years. And then I left the railroad and now I think I'm lost.
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, I'd like to be remembered as a guy that was able to make up his own mind and then about a situation and then do it.
Very good. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your military years?
I would like to share. It might be a little comical. Anyway, we got a replacement lieutenant one time, and in our platoon, and say, Sarge, I've been seeing your actions. He said, I've seen you move from one place to another, and when the place that you left, something happened, he said. He says, how do you do that, he said. I said, intuition. Feeling. Boy, I hope I can develop that, he said.
Were you married when you went in?
No. Yeah, that's another thing. And as time went on, you know, we'd get furloughs even when we're training in the States, and some of the guys would get married. And I'd come back from a furlough, and he'd say, "Did you get married?" "No, I didn't get married," I said. "I know I'm going into combat, and I don't want anything back here in the United States on my mind, because I'm going to do my job." With the training I had, and I want to come back.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And some of they are young, and they were so grateful to for our army to come over there and help them out, you know. Some of them had been in concentration camps, and they didn't have a lot of food, so life was kind of day to day for them, you know, for survival. And
this was the French people.
Yeah, this was the French people. Yeah, yeah. And. Well, the young ladies were glad to see us, of course.
So you felt appreciated in the countries that you went to?
Yeah, yeah.
Any other locals that you met, any citizens in either country?
No, not specifically. I was one little incident when we got into Germany, and we stopped there for the night, and this German couple, we could tell right away that they weren't glad that we were there, and she said something to the effect that you could leave us alone to. You know, why come over here and butt into our business? I mean, she didn't say it that way, but that was the impression. And, I didn't answer her. I didn't answer her. The guy that was with me, I had an answer, but being you didn't say anything, I wasn't going to say anything either.
Did you generally feel, though, that the people wanted your support?
Yeah.
Of the Allies?
Yeah, some of the Germans did, yeah. Because they didn't want to put up with the restrictions on war, food and everything that they wanted was just about impossible for them to get much of, you know. So I think I had the impression that part of the German population did not agree with Hitler's way of doing things. But if they did voice an opinion, why, they were prosecuted. Yeah.
Did any of your children go into military service?
No.
Any of your grandkids?
Yeah, I have some grandkids here, yeah.
And he's serving in where?
Well, he was in Iraq for a year. Oh. And he came back now, and he's back in the Army Reserve again. So he's cruising around Fargo looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. Did you use any of the GI benefits? You know, for health benefits or purchase a home or
no.
Go to school, you didn't use?
I didn't apply for any help at all. No.
Do you use the veterans at all for your health care?
Okay. I went to the veterans many, many years ago because of my hearing. And he said, in 6 or 8 months you can be able to come in and see a doctor. I said, "What? 6 or 8 months?" I said, and I'm here now with a problem, and you want me to wait that long? I said, I said, what in the world is going on, Roger? Because I'd heard this before, see? People were just being put off. I said, just forget about it, I said. And I said, remember, you could have been in a situation like this. Would you accept this here? Well, I really rolled him over. And he sat, just sat there and took it in.
Now, you said you contribute some of your hearing loss to the battles that you... The explosions and that.
Yeah. Right.
So it was pretty loud stuff that you...
That can be... It can be pretty bad. I'll tell you one time... They started shelling us, and I was walking along there, and there were some foxholes that the Germans had dug. And my buddy, just as they started, he jumped into the foxhole, and it was a pretty deep foxhole. And the rest of them were full, and he said, jump in on top of me, he said. So I jumped in on top of him, and there was a shell that landed. I don't know how close it was, but I could just feel it lift you up.
So you experienced danger every day.
Yeah, every day.
So have, over the years, have you been able to kind of separate that danger in your experiences and kind of meld back into...
Oh, yes. It finally got to a point where you could put it in the background, you know. And the only time... It'll come back, like, particular right now when they're talking about it. Or if some of the veterans will talk about it. But if two veterans talk about it, they kind of forget it pretty quickly because they were talking to a comrade. See? So when you don't forget about it right away, if you talk with a people that have never been in war and tell them something that happened, you know, you might remember as you walk away for several days, you know.
Well, does anything else come to mind that you'd like to share with this project?
No, not that I can think of right now.
Well, thank you for sharing your, showing us your medals and your experiences. I appreciate it.
Thank you.